client provides an address history to you that is incorrect. His recollection of dates is faulty, and he tells you that he lived in Lubbock from June of 2012 till August of 2013. He signs this information on his N-400 and swears that it's true at his interview. USCIS investigates and discovers that the client actually lived in Lubbock from November of 2012 till May 2014. Is this a material misrepresentation? I totally want to be like, okay, let's have a show of hands. Who says no and who says it's interesting. My argument was no. I can't understand. I'm not sure how address history in and of itself, without more context, is material to the requirements for naturalization. And materiality is defined as cutting off a line of inquiry that could lead to a finding that a person is not eligible for the benefit they're seeking. So it is material if the truth would have been directly disqualifying, or if it shut off a line of inquiry that would have resulted in a proper determination that he or she was inadmissible or ineligible, known as the rule of probability. An applicant will never be ineligible under INA 212A6C1 if he or she can demonstrate eligibility on true facts. We have a new recent case, Maslin-Yak, which resolves a circuit split about the proper understanding of 18 U.S.C. 1425A, which is a criminal statute authorizing denaturalization if an applicant procures naturalization contrary to law. And the Supreme Court in Maslin-Yak really came down on the side of the applicant. This was a case that I think was a lot less clear-cut than my hypothetical with the address history. This was a case where someone had immigrated in the first place as a refugee from the Bosnian-Serb conflict, and her husband had said that he was a persecuted Muslim when in fact he was one of the persecutors. And so there had been basically fraud and misrepresentation throughout the immigration history of this couple, and Mrs. Maslin-Yak was applied for naturalization, was granted, and then was prosecuted for denaturalization. And the basis for the denaturalizing her was going to be that she said no to the question, have you ever given false information to an immigration officer? The court said saying no in and of itself without more is not a material misrepresentation. It does not necessarily cut off a line of inquiry that would have led to her disqualification. Now, I mean, if they had been asking her, if they had said, have you ever given false information about whether your husband was a persecutor and did you obtain your lawful permanent residence fraudulently, maybe that would have had a different outcome. But without more context and more, the U.S. Supreme Court has said you cannot denaturalize someone, at least when a misrepresentation is not actually quite material and relevant. There has to be a cause and effect between the misrepresentation made and the naturalization itself. That is what they held. So,
The way I think about material is I always think of, does it really matter? Is this even really relevant? So the question I think about a lot of materiality is, you know, in the I-485, it has that question, are you a member of any organizations? And they say, oh, I was in the chess club. I was captain of the debate team. I'm like, well, technically, it says any member. And it's like bold and underlined, any member. I'm like, I guess we'll put it down. And you go to the USCIS officer interviews, and the officer's like, okay, I guess I'll write this down. And they're just like, I mean, this doesn't really matter. And I've had officers say that, you know, we'll get to some point that's kind of irrelevant. It's not material. Maybe, oh, I think I entered in July. Oh, well, this says you entered in April, but it doesn't matter, right? So that's immaterial. So the next fourth factor of fraud is benefit. You have to try to get some benefit under the act. So this guy, he comes into the U.S., Iwi. And then he doesn't get into the heartland of the country, but he gets to the checkpoint, the inland checkpoint. And the inland checkpoint officer, the CBP officer that's stationed there, he asks him for his document. The guy gives him some fake border crossing card. So it's definitely, it's willful, it's probably material, and it's definitely a misrepresentation because it's fake. But is it a benefit under the act? So everyone thinks that in inland checkpoint, so if you're seeking admission into the U.S., seeking a visa or some other benefit under the act, you're already in the U.S. So thank you, whoever put no, thank you. So that was my argument, is that if you're already in the U.S., it's you're not getting any benefit. And so this is a cool case that I've used for that point before. It was that making misrepresentations to avoid arrest is not any other benefit under the act.